Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good. It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
Made it up from Youngstown again, did you?
I did.
Wow.
I did.
Nice ride on the turnpike.
Yeah, you know.
You must know, like, every time there's a new billboard or a new sign.
Yeah. All that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Boy, if you were with us last week, and if you weren't, go to givethroughgraceministries.org, and you can listen to last week's show.
Say it's not so.
Yeah. I mean, what else would you be doing?
I can't imagine anything more important than this.
And we've been in, we were in Isaiah chapter 45 last week.
We were.
Yes. And I think we should probably reread the passage.
Revisit, yeah.
Yeah, and not do like a 30-minute recap. That's why everything turns into five shows.
Well, I think it's good to
that is
give.
Good.
It's good. It's a good foundation. It's, you know, it's foundational. So, all right, let's read Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 17. Let's go to 15. Truly with you, God is hidden, the God of Israel, the Savior. They are put to shame and disgrace, all of them. They go in disgrace who carve images. Israel has been saved by the Lord, saved forever. You shall never be put to shame or disgrace in any future age. For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it. Not as an empty waste did he create it, but designing it to be lived in. I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from some place in the land of darkness. I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I declare what is right. Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives from among the Gentiles. They are without knowledge who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. Come close and declare. Let them take counsel together. Who announced this from the beginning, declared it from of old? Was it not I, the Lord, besides whom there is no other God? There is no just and saving God but me. Turn to me and be safe, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I swear, uttering my just decree, a word that will not return. To me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power. Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall have vindication and glory.
Woo.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That was worth reading again.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should just start every show out with that.
Yes. Wow.
But we never get out
Boy,
of that.
Boy, that last verse there, yeah. just really hit me, you know?
In the Lord
shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Woo.
You know, the vindication, you know, the Lord vindicates us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
wow.
Yeshua is our vindication.
Yeah. Wow. That's really awesome. Yeah, the seed, you know, interesting, you know, that going back to the Garden of Eden and God tells the serpent that, you know, they're going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. And then the promises to Abraham, one of them is through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed.
Yeah.
And that, of course, refers to Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, as his descendant.
Yes.
Because whether you like to study the Old Testament or not, Jesus is descended from Abraham and was one of the covenant people in his humanity.
Yes.
And it's interesting that if you look at seed of Israel, capital S, who is Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, we Gentiles are saved as well. And we become spiritual children of Abraham, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul talks about in Romans, which is actually my second favorite book, Paul talks about how not just blood descendants from Abraham are Israel, mm-hmm. but spiritual descendants too.
Yeah.
You know, the people who do, the people who believe and follow and are obedient and then come to Messiah are basically spiritual Israel, spiritual children of Abraham.
Yeah, well, you know, I was, as you're saying that, I was thinking about what we spoke about last week when I read that passage from, I think it was John 3, about how Jesus tells Nicodemus, you know, those who are, if you're born of water and the Spirit, you know, you're not going to enter heaven unless you're born again.
Yeah.
You need to be born spiritually from above.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But as you're saying that, you know, all the descendants of Israel, those who were natural born sons and daughters and those who were adopted mm-hmm. sons and daughters
yes.
through the blood of Messiah
Amen.
Shall have vindication and glory.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I am one happy Gentile to be grafted in and be part of the kingdom.
You're happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam.
Yeah.
And I tell, you know, as many of you know, I do a lot of Bible study groups in homes and in churches. And
you do?
I do.
Okay.
And it's, and didn't you take my Torah class?
I did.
I think more than once.
More than once, yeah.
You took the refresher course.
I took the original course. I took the refresher, and I took the expose after that.
You got the Cliff Notes, too,
yeah.
I think. You're waiting for the DVDs to come out.
I'm waiting for the DVD series. I'm going to be the first one to buy it.
This week only, $500.
Oh.
On sale.
Oh, wow. Do I get a Gift of Grace Ministries discount?
You do.
Okay.
And I'll even autograph it.
Okay. Wow.
Now you may forget what I was going to say. But, you know, it's interesting to, as people learn about the Hebrew roots of our faith, and as people learn about how Yeshua, Jesus, is foreshadowed in the Torah and in the prophets and in the whole Tanakh, of course,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people get very excited about this, because then people who always said, well, I never studied the Old Testament because it's boring, suddenly say, yeah. wow, you know, I never thought about that. And,
yeah.
you know, as we approach Passover and we do Messianic Seders in various places, you know, some people are even surprised when you tell them that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder.
They are.
that's pretty bad.
They're very astounded by that. Like,
yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
The Last Supper was a Seder? What? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. They're taken back by that because they simply haven't learned it and understood mm-hmm. what it is and the connection. You know, I think back to when Sandy and I first came back to the Lord, and you know, we had gone to a charismatic conference and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we came home, and I just had this understanding of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to what took place in Egypt, in the Exodus,
mm-hmm.
and the sacrifice that was made, how we're covered in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Just like the Israelites were covered in the blood of the Lamb, their doorpost was covered in the blood of the Lamb, and how we're safe underneath that, under His blood. And, you know, they celebrated the Passover meal every year as a perpetual feast in the first person. Every generation does it. Every year they do it.
Yeah.
You know, this day the Lord's delivered me from yeah. slavery in Egypt.
Exactly.
Well, this day the Lord's delivered me from slavery
yes.
of sin.
All in the first person.
All in the first person. So, yeah, when you know, when somebody starts to learn this, they can get very excited about what they've, you know, I guess what's been before them the whole time, or what they've just never really learned about, and really, you know, just really, you know, they're hungry for God's word.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're hungry for God's word, and God feeds them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it really is important to understand our salvation history from the book of Genesis mm-hmm. all the way through the
yes.
book of Revelation.
Yes. It starts in Genesis 1:1 yeah. and goes on. And when you you know, as you're talking about, as I mentioned before, when you're talking to a group and you're pointing out these things, it's the people who finally get it, as I say, you all of a sudden you see this look in their eye like, oh.
Yeah.
Then you know, like the Holy Spirit's just put a light on. When they realize, wow, this is so awesome. How come I never thought of this before?
The light goes off. Yeah.
But it, and this is, you know, like last week we talked about how, you know, in this passage in verse 23, it's kind of prefigurement of Philippians 2 about every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. You know, here it says every tongue shall swear, but in Philippians 2 it says every tongue shall confess. Okay. So pretty much the same wording. It's a direct prefigurement of Philippians 2, and it goes through, I mean, I don't want to rehash the whole salvation message, but it goes through, you know, the gospel being proclaimed in Genesis 3:15 to everything being wrapped up at the end of the book of Revelation.
Right.
It's all a continuous thread that runs through the whole scripture and all points to the cross. And then, of course, in our time, we look back at the cross because, as God says here to Isaiah, he's God. There's nobody else who's God. He's the authority behind this. And his is the message that has to be proclaimed, not whatever message is popular at the time or whatever message comes from some other human being.
Mm-hmm.
And his authority is that he is God. There's no one beside him, and that he is the creator and the maker of all of these things.
Yeah.
And so we as creatures are not the ones that make the plan. You know, we don't make the plan. We'd like to make the plan of salvation. We could make like a really simple one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel that they themselves have made a plan for their salvation, or they've heard somebody who they say, yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That might be the plan of salvation. God points out my plan's the only one that really has any truth, capital T, to it. Your plans are nonsense because they don't have my authority behind them. So, it's the problem, especially in our time, is that people talk about their opinions and people talk about their beliefs in the sense of, well, I don't think what's in the Bible could possibly be right, or I don't think what the 2,000-year tradition of Christian thought could be right.
Yeah.
Because I think what I'm thinking makes more sense, especially, at least for me, it does. So, you know, for me, it makes, maybe for you, it doesn't, but for me, this is the right plan.
Yeah.
Well, there's not an individual, there's not like 10,000 different plans and you pick which one's best for you.
Yeah. Yeah. God, you know, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, he didn't say, well, you know, I gave you these Ten Commandments and, you know, they're down there building a calf right now out of gold. So, you know, if they want to use that God, then I guess it's okay too.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. No. He destroyed that calf.
Yeah.
And
the people that made it.
And the people that made it. But, you know, when you were talking, just now, I was thinking about when Jesus tells the people that, you know, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. But no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. This was from Luke 11 in chapter 29 and Luke 11 verse 30. And he says, just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here, meaning himself.
Yes.
And at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to do a show about that.
Yeah, we should.
In fact, you told me that passage a couple of weeks ago, and I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're when you're reading the Old Testament, this is a, I think this is another great example of it. When you're reading the Old Testament, you read about Jonah, the Ninevites, and how he didn't want to go, but eventually he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he proclaimed God's word, and the people accepted it and repented.
Yes. You know, and they were Gentiles.
And they were Gentiles, yeah.
I hope my North Ridgeville group is listening. We just got done studying Jonah.
Oh, anyway, go ahead. Did they take the test yet? Oh,
no,
oh, they don't know. There's
that's this week.
This week, okay. Study up now. So, you need help grading the paper. So Jesus is telling the people that the men of Nineveh are going to rise with this generation,
mm-hmm.
and the queen of the south,
mm-hmm.
because she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, they're going to judge.
Yes.
They're going to judge because they believed.
They believed.
And they came and they saw a type and a shadow.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying they believed because they saw a type and a shadow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the substance.
Amen. Yes. Exactly.
A shadow
right.
does not exist on its own.
Excellent. Yeah.
I took your Torah study.
Oh, that's a great summary of it.
So
they believed the word that came from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though people belonged to the covenant people of Israel, if those people didn't believe, these pagan people, the queen of the south, the Ninevites, who did believe, are going to rise up in judgment against them.
Yeah.
Because they believed the word and they knew that he was God and there was no other. And they took the word seriously and they repented.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
You know, at the day of judgment, they're going to judge them.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
And then Jesus, you know, points out, you know, he uses that to also refer to himself. Says, well, one greater than Solomon's here.
Yeah.
So if you guys, if the queen of the south listened to Solomon, well, you guys better listen to me because I'm greater than Solomon. If the people in Nineveh listen to Jonah, well, there's one very much greater than Jonah here.
Yeah.
You better listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you don't, and by the way, that applies to 21st century people as well as first century people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're listening, if we don't listen to him, we do that at our own peril. And those people that he mentions will also rise up to judge the people of today.
Yeah.
The Matovu. I could have used this last week at One in Messiah.
Oh, sorry. Woof. I wasn't there.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel, and Iberoch has Shem Adonai. In the name of the Lord.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, I'm going to say something interesting about verse 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. So he says his authority again, and he points out that he's the one who created everything.
Yeah.
And he didn't create things in vain. Everything has a purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is made for a reason. Now, if you look at sort of modern or postmodern, whatever, I don't know all the distinctions of that, but if you look at the thinking of our time, there is no such concept of this because everything is random. Everything is by accident. Everything happened by chance. And here God is saying, I made all these things for a purpose. And yeah. Because he made these things for a purpose, he's worthy of being praised, and he's worthy of homage, and he's worthy of all our attention because he's the one that made these things.
Right.
The idols of the people, and fast forwarding to our time, the idols that we have, none of those idols made these things. None of these idols created anything. And he points out basically nothing was randomly made. I didn't just kind of by chance all of a sudden the earth appeared. Right. Like I made these things right. To be inhabited by you.
Yeah.
I made this as a special place for you. And it's not going to be in vain. In other words, it's not just going to be for nothing. It has a purpose.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how much of a disposable, recyclable, not even recyclable, how much of a disposal culture we live in.
Yeah.
Things are just discarded because it's cheaper to just buy a new one.
Yeah.
Than to get something fixed.
Yeah.
It's easier just to get something new and then, well, let's throw that out to the trash. You know, when I can remember, you know, my mom and dad grew up in the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They didn't throw stuff out. You know, they recycled stuff. They you know, they did all that. So, but in our culture today, everything's kind of disposable. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, God made this, you know, the world to be inhabited. He made us so that we can praise him. He didn't make it so that it's an empty. He didn't make it. Then it's just thrown away and discarded.
Yeah.
There's a purpose and a reason for everything.
Yeah.
And we tend to, in our culture, in our fast-paced culture, we tend to lose sight of that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the show last week, I was mentioning about how culture just happens. You know, if you want to influence the culture or the, you know, if you want to influence culture, you have to be a part of it. You have to mm-hmm. proclaim truth. You have to speak the truth. You have to proclaim the word of God. In our country, we've basically let other people take God out of the equation.
Yes.
Because the people who believe in God didn't have the strength,
mm-hmm.
the perseverance, the wherewithal to say, God is truth.
Yes.
And we will not do that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's happened, unfortunately, with the leaders of many churches.
Exactly.
They haven't stood for the truth. They haven't stood on the foundation. They've
right.
let themselves be pushed around and intimidated to the point where, well, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. You got to watch what you say around here. And
Yeah.
And this is not what God's telling Isaiah.
No, it's not what he told Isaiah. It's not what he told Ezekiel. It's not what he told any of the prophets.
Yes.
And he's not, and it's not what, you know, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ and we're ambassadors, it's not what he's telling us.
Yes, exactly. And we're here to speak this word. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about this in the last few months. I mean, the Lord's been constantly putting this in my mind that we can't shrink back from saying what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't shrink back for our own comfort or at the concern of, well, I don't want to get in any trouble and I don't want my friends to think I'm stupid and I don't want people at work to think I'm a crazy man.
Yeah.
So we don't say anything.
Right. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
You know, I don't want to tell them. And you know, as we're reading this and we're reflecting upon everything we've talked about, you know, really for what the last five or six shows, you know, it's really apparent that if I'm speaking God's word, I'm speaking the truth, I'm not responsible if somebody's going to accept it or reject it.
Right.
If somebody rejects it, they're probably going to be upset anyway.
Yeah.
The chances are they're probably upset to begin with.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to accept it. But that's not of my concern, because my concern is delivering God's word in its fullness and in its truth, so that it is presented, I shouldn't even say presented, so that it's spoken with the authority that's given from God.
Yes.
Not from myself, but given from God.
And that's why he uses the phrase, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's the authority behind the word. A man's or a woman's word doesn't carry that kind of authority.
Right.
I mean, a politician can make a speech and you can agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
A pastor or a priest or a rabbi can say something from his own opinion and you can say, well, I don't agree with that, or, oh, that's a good point. That's
right.
Fine. But when the word is thus saith the Lord, then that carries the authority of truth with a capital T.
Yes.
And the authority, like we mentioned before, when Jesus spoke and they said, wow, we're, you know, he talks with authority, not like these other guys. And, you know, not like my friends that I talk to at Starbucks in the morning. I mean, this is real authority.
Yeah.
And it interestingly, too, as we talked about the Holy Spirit inspiring the scripture and how this is here for us to read, and it's not a top secret document. It's not something that, you know, only a few people are supposed to know.
Right.
Or, you know, it's not like the Gnostic heresy of, well, there's some secret information that some of us know.
Right.
And you guys are never going to know it because you don't know how to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are heretical things because the truth is all here.
Exactly.
And verse 19, why don't you read verse 19 again? That's a pretty cool verse.
Verse 19.
That's a pretty cool verse.
From Isaiah?
Yeah,
I was looking at something else.
Oh, sorry.
Isaiah 45, verse 19. I have not spoken in secret from some place in the land of darkness. I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I declare what is right.
Yeah. So I didn't talk about stuff in secret so that only Isaiah was going to know about this, or only Ezekiel was going to know about this, or only St. Paul or St. Peter or, you know, any of the other evangelists are going to be the only ones who are going to know about this. Because I don't talk in secret. I don't talk in a dark place. You know, Jesus refers to this, too, when he says during his, you know, trial, such as it was, where he says, you know, I spoke plainly and told everybody.
Yeah, he spoke openly in the synagogue.
You know, ask them what I said. They should know.
Yeah.
Because he spoke openly to people, crowds of people, spoke in synagogues, spoke in the temple courts. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't in a dark place.
Right.
And the word comes through this light of revelation, because we don't have any way to deduce what God is thinking or to conceive of what his word is or what his plans are. We have to have that revealed to us. And the revelation comes from him and is all through the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets in the Tanakh were filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit gave them the message that they were supposed to talk about. And the gods and the idols of the pagans that were alive at that time, you know, they didn't do that in the same way. They didn't have powerful message. They had, you know, if you read mythology, it was all kind of silly stuff that their gods did. There was no powerful message. And God points out that he doesn't do it in a dark, secret place. It's here for everybody to see.
Yeah.
The word is here for everybody to see. Now, we live in a time where a Bible is readily available to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most people probably have more than one Bible, a few different versions, a few different translations. You know, they may have one in different parts of their house and a couple in their car and, you know, wherever they go. And we're so blessed now to have God's word at our fingertips anywhere we go.
Yeah.
We have it on our iPad. We have it on our phone.
I know.
We have it on our computer. Yeah. We can do Bible study on a computer and bring up any number of commentaries and read them. And I found the other night I was getting ready to teach one of my groups, Galatians. We're starting Galatians 1. I found this commentary written by Thomas Aquinas. And it was amazing.
Wow.
And there it is. I mean, on the internet. Otherwise, you know, how would you find such a thing in the old days?
How did he post it on the internet?
He posted it.
Wow.
And it, interestingly, it's written in Greek. This one is written in Greek and in Latin and in English, like in three different columns.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's really cool. So you can read the Greek version, the Latin version, the English version. But we have all this information about the word at our fingertips.
Yeah.
You can look up in a concordance, the Greek word for whatever it is, the Hebrew word for whatever it is, instead of carrying around all these scrolls and things. We should be more scripturally knowledgeable than anybody, but we're the opposite.
We're lazy.
We're the least scriptural knowledge.
We're lazy.
We have the least amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of a sad thing because all of this revelation doesn't come from a dark place. It's for everybody to see. Just like we talked about last week, you know, God shows his presence in all of the creation. So when you look out at the stars and you look out at the wonders of nature, you know, his handiwork shows that he made it.
Mm-hmm.
It says, so Paul says in Romans 1, so every man is without excuse.
Yeah.
So when you die, you can't say, I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know you existed. Come on. After all, you know, I've spent my whole life being an astronomer. And I didn't know you existed.
Yeah.
You can have no excuse.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see all these things. And there's abundant proof of all of these things.
Yeah.
And there's abundant proof through all of the scripture that everything he says is plain. It's not a secret knowledge. It's open. And he reveals himself in that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you're saying all that, you know, what I'm going to go back to what he says here in verse 18 is that the designer and maker of the earth who established it not as an empty waste did he create it. And what that refers to is in Genesis when it's in the, you know, first or second verse in Genesis where it says the world was without form.
Hmm.
You know, he designed it to be lived in. He designed it for a purpose. And he didn't design it as just this unformed blob of mass that's just kind of void of form and void of, you know, structure or it's purposeful.
Yes, exactly.
And he says, I did not say, you know, tell you to look for me in an empty waste. I didn't tell you to look for me in some obscure place without form or without, you know, that is just like, well, is God over here? Gosh, I don't even know where I'm at. You know, it's like, God does not hide in some, you know, he's not in some dark place of hiding or like in the back of a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, if they come in here, they're going to find me. You know? But yet, you know, so if, you know, if, if when people say, well, my faith is personal, you know, I really don't share that with anybody.
Yeah, try to find that in the scriptures.
Yeah, try to find that in the scriptures. Well, that's a very convenient excuse because that's just not true.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you were talking about this, that, you know, that's what came to mind, is that this empty waste really stuck out at me as this, you know, nothing is an empty waste with God.
Right.
Nothing is just void of form or structure.
That's right.
Everything has form and structure that God creates.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he can even take the sort of disorganized chaos that's in our own life, and he can work with that and redeem it and use it. And
he does.
And that's why so many people say, well, you know, I don't think I'm worthy to do that. And I say, well, of course you're not. Nobody's worthy to do that. All you have to do is be available and show up, and he'll use you if you're willing to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to say the truth that he reveals, he's going to use you more and more powerfully.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be able to stand up and say, well, he did that because I was worthy of that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I was thinking of when you were talking is, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come looking and they come to John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And, our friend John, I think this is our favorite passage.
Oh yeah, it's good.
He says, you brood of vipers. What a nice welcoming.
Yeah.
Hey, you brood of vipers, come here.
He was all warm and fuzzy.
Just makes you feel real welcome. But, he says this for a specific reason. And that is because who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance.
Hmm.
A lot of people can say things.
Yeah.
And in our culture today, people use words to mask what they really feel and what they really think.
Yeah.
And as a human race, we're perfecting that, unfortunately.
Verbal gymnastics.
Yeah, to our own demise.
Yes, absolutely.
And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, so hey, we're good.
Exactly.
For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones.
Yeah.
And even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. So it doesn't really matter what your genetic DNA is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What matters is the blood of Messiah.
That's right.
Because the only thing that makes us new, the only thing that gives us eternal salvation,
mm-hmm.
is the blood that was shed for us on the cross.
That's right.
Without that, we're lost in our sins.
Yeah.
We're lost in everything.
Yeah.
And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees came looking for John, or looking, you know, checking things out. And they did really think that. And they even told Jesus this. You know, we have father, Abraham is our father.
Yeah, yeah,
well, you wouldn't be trying to kill me if Abraham was your father. Yeah. Don't tell me that. We would never stone the prophets. Yes, you would.
Yes, you would.
You would have done it maybe even faster than them.
Yeah.
So we can't really rely on, well, you know, my family is a good family.
Right.
Gosh, you know, I have a brother that's a pastor. And,
yeah.
You know, my father was a pastor.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I have an uncle that was a priest.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
That's right.
That's great. Those are all good things.
Yeah.
But that does not earn you salvation into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Those people you mentioned, they were using their ancestry as their justification. Well, we're children of Abraham. Well,
right.
Neither John the Baptist nor Jesus were impressed with that.
No, not at all.
Because, as you summarized it, you know, Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be acting like Abraham. But instead, you're acting like your real father, who's the devil.
Yeah.
If you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't be plotting to kill me.
Exactly.
So that's a very powerful statement. And that's the teaching with authority. Like, had you been standing there, you would have said, whoa.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Ooh.
It's on a break already. Is this the last break?
It is.
Oh, I can't believe it. I got lots of stuff. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
When Messiah comes to take us home, May his praise be found in you. Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you. The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed be the Holy One, Yeshua Tadonai. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. To you, when Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found in you. Israel, beloved, Ephraim, my son. How my heart would thrill to hear you say, Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May they pierce your soul. Turn again to worship Adonai.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
That's an awesome song.
That song has a special place in my heart because when I was a new believer and I bought the Shalom Jerusalem CD, see, I didn't call it an album. I'm getting hip with it. A CD.
Oh, my.
And played that song through a few times, and all of a sudden I got interested in Messianic Jewish things, and here I am 22 years later.
Wow.
Doing all this other stuff with Messianic believers, and wow, not to mention hanging out with Paul Wilbur here and there. But anyway, can't believe it's the last segment.
At Corky and Lenny's.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But the idea that the word is public, not private, not in a dark place, but it's out in the light for everybody to see, you know, the original covenant of God, the original law, was delivered at Mount Sinai with hundreds of thousands of people at the base of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And They saw the glory cloud. They heard shofar blasts. They saw lightning. They heard thunder.
You mean God didn't put a curtain around it?
No.
No?
And he didn't say, hey, Moses, listen, I'm going to tell you something. But
come here.
I don't want anybody down there to know about
hear this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this amazing manifestation of his power so that the people knew something was going on there.
Yeah.
And then when Moses came down, I mean, after this golden calf thing, after Moses came down and he had the law, they knew that something had happened. Moses got a direct word while he was there.
Yeah.
Then he wrote down all the law. He spent 40 days on the mountain. Then he wrote down the whole covenant of the law so that the people could have it. It wasn't secret. He didn't say, I'm going to write this down and then we're going to put it away and just Aaron and I are going to know the law and everybody else is going to have to try to just figure it out. And he had the stone tablets, of course, the original tablets, which, of course, he broke, were actually written by the finger of God, it says.
Yeah.
And the replacement tablets were written by Moses at the command of God. So there was this direct communication with Moses, with God giving him a direct word, direct dictation, more or less, of what the law was.
Yeah.
And Moses wrote it all down. It was not secret.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Moses, you know, God, the finger of God wrote into the stone tablet and Moses broke it.
Yeah.
And then he hit the rock twice when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, you know.
Man.
He had a temper like that. Yeah. He wasn't even Italian.
That's so cheap.
You know, it's like, I can understand that.
But
it's
I mean,
too bad he smashed those tablets.
Yeah. And see, we think we came up with the tablet, but God was well ahead of our time.
That's right.
So God speaks in the open.
Yeah.
He speaks without void.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak in an empty waste or a void.
Right.
He speaks. And when, you know, when God speaks, a void is not created.
Right.
A void is filled.
Excellent. Yes.
And so what I was going to say at the beginning of the show, which I don't think I really ever got to, was I got some notes here that I haven't gotten to. I'm turning into Phil. You know, in our culture, sometimes people shy away from getting into the discussion or the discussion of what's taking place.
Yeah.
When we do that, we allow others to take the discussion maybe to a place that it shouldn't go.
Yeah. Excellent.
And
point.
We allow maybe thoughts that aren't truth to enter into the public arena, and we as a people and as a culture will suffer from that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to engage in the conversation and stand for truth.
Yes.
Even if it's not popular. Just because something is popular doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's, you know, very logical or very smart. And it certainly doesn't mean that it's from God.
Yeah, God never said to anyone, Moses or anyone, they'll take a poll and see what people think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about using this as one of the laws, but
take an opinion poll.
I don't really know if it's a good idea or not, but why don't you see what the people think of this?
So think about it. If those of us who have been given truth do not proclaim that truth in a voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
What's left?
Yes, exactly.
Chaos.
Yes.
Lawlessness.
Yes.
You know, we have to proclaim the truth of God. We have to, you know, God is orderly. God establishes things in an order.
He's not a God of chaos.
No, he's not. And so, our faith in Jesus Christ, the covenant that we're a part of, is not a secretive thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the covenant is so that we have life with God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died on the cross so we have life with God.
Amen.
And if we don't think that that's a good thing, then, you know, That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But if I believe that it's a good thing, then I need to share that with other people. I need to proclaim the truth of what that is, because life with God is eternal life. Mm-hmm. Life void of God mm-hmm. is certain death.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there that is worth anything of keeping. So we have to proclaim, just like Ezekiel, just like Isaiah, we have to proclaim the truth that God's giving us, so that his message, the message of salvation, is made known, even in our day and our age.
Yes.
Because there's many people that want to create their own plan. They want to create their own salvation, which they can't.
Yeah.
And they question the authority of God. They question just the scripture itself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say they mock it. There's always people that scoff and mock, right. But they don't believe the truth that's right before them.
That's right.
At their own peril.
Yes. And I think the whole point of what we talked about tonight, I hope we had a point, was that none of these things were done by God in secret. All of this is, we'd call it public information.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say it's revelation that is available to everyone.
Yes.
So when somebody says, no, that can't be true, they can't say, I never saw the revelation, because it's here for everybody to see.
Yeah.
Show's over.
It is.
Well, looks like there's going to be another one. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would open your heart to the truth of God, to his word, to his creation, and to his son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.